Okay, speaking now about buying svarim from Meiser money. Okay, the many people hold that you're allowed to buy svarim and leave them for people to borrow. You can use them predominantly. You have to write in them that they are bought from Meiser money, because they're not yours. They're basically yours to use and to loan out if people want to borrow them, and you have to let people know that they're available to be loaned out. And you have to write in it, that way after 120 years, children who inherit them know they're not theirs, that they have to do the same thing and loan them out or whatever. And you can use the safer before anybody else, but you have to make it available to other people. Okay, that there are those who hold the Bizman Hazeh, that doesn't apply. Because today, Svarim are so, available, that you having Svarim doesn't, you know, make it so easy for other people to have Svarim. They could have them there themselves too. There was talking in a time where Svarim were very rare, and people, you know, somebody, one person, a shas in a city, so he could buy them from Meiser money, use it for himself, and if people needed to borrow it, they borrowed it. But it's, everybody has their own svarim or whatever. L'maisa l'halacha, you can do that, and you can use Meiser money for svarim, as long as you write in the safe or whatever. That it may not be the chatchila to do, at least according to some, is only if you're buying the sefer really for your use, but you're going to let other people use it if they want. But if you have a gemach, like a lot of people have, svarim, they have here over here, what's it called, with tapes, used to have the tapes. So, but the people have svarim. I think in Kiryat Sefer, there's somebody who has a lending library that's specifically not for their own use. It's specifically for...
I don't have a reason.
Okay, well, you have a lending library, an English svarim?
But it's not a lending library, it's my books. I can't read them all at once, so I let people borrow them. And
That's the first case. So you could buy that from Meiser money. If you want to be machmer, is a place not to buy those kind of swarm from Meiser money. But if you have, like, I forgot who it is, they used to have a sale every once in a while in Kiryat Sefer.
Sure. Yeah.
Who? Yeah, right. So they, mamish, those are not their swarm. Those are really, like, they buy swarm for a lending library and it's be lent out. That for sure you can buy from Meiser money. That's no shaiva. Okay, there's another possibility of buying svarim. Svarim are things that people need for their spiritual upkeep, right? Especially if you're a rav, right, or somebody who's teaching, you need svarim. Those are the tools of your trade, right? The teacher needs books to be able to prepare their lessons or whatever. Rob needs svarim to look up, let's go get shilas or whatever. If they're the kind of svarim that a person needs, even not a rov or a teacher, but you need them constantly to refer to be able to live a Jewish life. You're not buying novels or books that, you know, stand once in a while you look at. If you need reference for halacha, for hashkafa, things like that, those you may not be able to buy from Meiser, but they're considered tools of your trade, which means that you can deduct them from what you have to give Meiser on. So if you earn, let's say, $1,000 a month, okay, and so you'd have to take $100 Meiser from that, but you bought $100 worth of these kind of svarim, then you only have to take $90 worth of Meiser, because you can deduct that $100 from your income, because this is already the tools of your trade. So if you buy a lot of svarim, you can deduct that from your income, those kind of svarim. If you buy svarim specifically to give to somebody poor who doesn't have svarim, right? Or you buy, let's say, even a present. Normally presents are mitzvah presents that are usually svarim. You can't take from Meiser, because it's expected for you, if you go to the bar mitzvah, to give the kid a present. But if you want to buy this child a better present, you want to buy him the whole set of svarim that you know he'll never get, and he's poor, and his parents can't buy him that sefer. So you could be yotzei with, you know, a sefer that costs 50 shekel. You're buying the kid a sefer that costs 200 shekel a set, because you're giving it to, because he's poor, and this way he'll have that sefer. That you could take from Meiser also. more than the amount, the minimal amount that you would be yotze with a bar mitzvah present. If you buy sfarim and you do have intention to have them for yourself predominantly, but you loan them out, so you have to announce, or people should know, that the sfarim are available. You don't have to let people in your house whenever they come to look at the sefer. Right? You can tell them to come when it's convenient for you or whatever, and you don't have to leave the sefer somewhere where people can get to it. You can stay in your house, and again, if you need it, you come first. Still, if you want to be makel or you want to rely on this, you can buy svarim, those kind of svarim from Meiser money. If you buy svarim to donate to a shul, right? And there you're not keeping it in your house, but you're buying it, then you can use it also, but predominantly in a place where other people can come and take it, then for sure you can take it from Meiser. That's for sure. How about to buy a sefer which you don't really need, but you're buying it because the person who's selling the sefer is an ani, and this is the way that he collects money in a mechubadika way. People Google a lot of times that, you know, you need the sefer or whatever, you don't really ever need that sefer, but the person who's selling it, he needs the money. Instead of asking for a handout, he sells these svarim that you can take from Meisel. These breastlovers go around selling these little pamphlets or whatever for whatever you'll give them. They don't pay anything for it. It's basically a way of getting some money in a mechubadika way that you surely can use for Meiser. However, if you really want that sefer and you would have bought it, right, then lecha'ora, you can only, and but you're paying more for it because you're taking it from this ani, you can take the extra from Meiser, but the cost of the sefer itself, lechara, is not tzedakah. You're getting a benefit of having that sefer, right? And you could have bought it for, let's say, 50 shekel, and they're giving it, they're selling it for 70 shekel, so the 20 shekel you can take from Meiser.
Would that be true if you buy anything from an ani who's selling to make money?
Lechara, yeah. Whatever you pay more because it's the ani, you're giving him tzedakah. Because you can go buy that.
In other words, he's trying to make a parnasa instead of going around collecting. He's selling something. He charges more because he's not
right.
buying. You know, but you go to him because you want to give him the
right.
parnasa.
Right.
But
so you can't take the entire
right,
amount,
but
you can take
extra.
The extra. Right. Yeah.
If you buy a sefer with nicer money, and then after, when you don't need it anymore, say whatever, not a sefer, whatever, you want to sell it.
So you can only sell it. That's a good question, because that's part of the halachas here. You can only sell it if you tell the person who buys it that he has to do the same thing and loan it out.
Why can't you just give the money back to Meisel?
Yeah.
Sell it and give the money.
I bought the sefer for $20 for 20 shekel.
And I want to buy it from Meisel.
Right.
You could do that too.
You could just like basically. Put
yeah,
it back
but, or either put the money back to Meisel. Or if not, then you have to tell him that that still remains Meiser.
Uh-huh.
If he's willing to buy it under those conditions. If you inherit svarim that were bought with Meiser money, then you have to continue on loaning them out. They're not really yours. But if you inherit them, you can inherit them as much to hold them as much as they were under the hands of the people who gave who were benefactors. Okay. However, okay, there's an exception to that. He says that if you have children who are aniyim, who inherit svarim, they don't need the svarim; they need money. So their apitropsin, right, the administrators of their estate, can sell these svarim, and the money that's generated now is its tzedakah money. Goes to these children who are aniyim. That's okay. But if the children aren't aniyim, or the people who inherit are not aniyim, then the money that they generate is not tzedakah money, unless they give it to Meiser. That would be okay. Okay. You can use Meiser money to help somebody publish a sefer that people need. You know, the sefer that people will benefit from or whatever, and you want to help the person who wrote the sefer be able to publish it, right? And he's looking for donations. Then that donation can come from Meiser money. And the chora, there's a shaila. I remember seeing, he doesn't speak about it. Can then the person who's doing the sefer give credit in the sefer, right? You know, these are the page of donors. Can he give credit? Now the guy's getting covered and he gave Meiser money. But the chora, the fact that he decided to give his Meiser money to this, for that he gets covered too. So the chora can have his name there for covered, even though he didn't give his own money, but he directed his Meiser money towards this. So the guy who's Mahakar Sato for that, he could have directed his Meiser money for something else.
It sounds also that it's like an advert. Somebody else would not go to the same donor to ask him also.
You have to ask permission from the, what's it called, from the guy if he wants his name there.
Step, come on me?
What?
Come on me? And under all conditions?
Yeah, the chora. You can't, especially if you're publicizing somebody's name. That maybe it's like saying, you know, somebody invited you as a guest. So you're not allowed to go around praising that person, what a great host he is, because then people are going to start calling him because they want to be a guest by them too. So you're not helping that person, you're hurting that person.
Yeah, no, but this is somebody who, I mean, it's not, he helps people publish foreign sort of thing.
Yeah, but it could be that you still have to ask him. Because maybe he doesn't want people to know, you know, specifically that he gave to your sefer, because then people with that kind of sefer will call him again. I don't know. And the chora, you'd have to ask somebody like that. And surely if the person is putting it out as an ani, and he's getting his parnosim, selling his svarim, which I really don't understand how he could do that in any case, but if that's the case, right? I don't know if you make money from selling his foreign, but in any case, if that's the case, then you surely can help him publish a safer, because basically you're investing in his business and giving him tzedakah so he can have a business to make money from. That's for sure. Okay.
What if he's not an anipa, or specifically an anipa, he's somebody who's learning, who's publishing a safer, and you want to support somebody who's in learning?
Yeah, so that usually people in learning are not rich people.
Yeah, but he wouldn't say, the person wouldn't necessarily be considered an ani, because they basically could take care of themselves. I don't know.
An ani for this is somebody who does not have money, what's it called, ready available to live out a year in hand. Most people who are learning. Right. No, people usually don't have that amount if they're learning available to them. Even if they're working, they don't, right? Most people today are aniyim, according to that. Okay. Well, that's pretty much this. Okay. The next thing we have to learn, which will be next week in Mirz Hashem, is paying tuition for Meiser money, which is probably more relevant to most of us than buying svarim. What?
Most of us here?
Grandchildren.